Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the virtual CISO moment. TJ Bettles joins us today. He is CEO of White Hat Cybersecurity Solutions. He is also the host of Bullyproof, which is a new podcast that we're going to talk about in a few moments that drops its first episode on Monday, November 13th. TJ, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I would love to hear your journey. I know we talked a little bit about it before we started recording. I find it fascinating, the snippets that you told me, but would love to hear the whole story about how you started out, why you got into cyber, how you got to founding your own company, and also what led you to the podcast.
Okay. My journey as a hacker began around the age of 8. I got together with a friend of mine and we started experimenting with computers. When I was in the seventh grade, I took control of my elementary school's network and locked out all the teachers. And that's really where it began for me. So I spent many years in the wild as a gray hat hacker. What I can say is that I've never caused any damage or disruption to anybody, but I'm what my parents would call curious George. I was very curious about things, always liked to take things apart, always liked to figure out how things worked. And so that's kind of how it began with me. And then I went off to university and studied psychology and business. And I worked in HR for a while. And then I went to work for a software company. And then I owned a gym. So I've done a lot of different things over the years, but I've always been a hacker. And so in 2021, I went to work for a company, an automotive company, and they were smaller organizations, about 30 employees. And I saw how bad their security was. And I saw an opportunity to add value to the small and medium-sized business here in Canada. And so that's where the idea of White Hat came from. And that's how we approach security. We look at things a little bit differently than your typical cybersecurity firm that they're looking at compliance standards. Well, we approach things through the eyes of the hacker, mm-hmm. and companies engage us to come in and try and break into their networks and document what we find. And we see the same things over and over and over again. It's poor configuration, poor security policies, and outdated software patching. Those are the three major things that we see over and over and over again with the small and medium-sized business.
So a guest that I had on not too long ago described from the hacker's side the concept of tasty. The concept of tasty being how appealing is the information that you're keeping within your network and to the criminal. Have you ever heard, first of all, the word tasty in that reference before?
Not in that reference. It's always of things that are I find interesting. So interesting information would be password databases, credentials, credit card information, you know, anything that a hacker could then take away and turn around and sell or utilize in a malicious way.
Oh, I that's the way I would define it too, but I just love the concept of the word tasty. It's just
it is an interesting way of looking at it for sure. Yeah.
It almost like internalizes, because you know, we all want to eat, and we all, you know, if we had a choice between carrot cake and carrot, we'd go to carrot cake, right?
Yeah.
Ever since he said that, I can't remember his last name off the top of my head, Simon with X80. Begins with a C. I feel bad about drawing a blank there, but anybody else watching this, go back to that and learn about the concept of tasty. But anyway, TJ, in about 30 seconds, I'm going to come back and ask you what you think now that you've worked with small and mid-sized businesses for quite some time about trying to figure out where the issues are. What you think are a couple of the major cybersecurity threats to the small and mid-sized businesses? And I'll ask you that in just about 30 seconds.
Sure.
vCISO Services is a small, specialized, veteran-owned information security firm with a calling, founded on Christian values and focused on the needs of small and mid-sized businesses. Our passion is to help small and mid-sized businesses gain a fighting chance in an increasingly hostile cybersecurity threat environment by providing executive part-time virtual CISO services, information security risk management services, and CISO advisory services. Check them out at vcsoservices.com. Okay, TJ, I gave you actually about 32 seconds. So what do you think's, in your opinion, the biggest threat to cyber for small and mid-sized businesses?
I think the biggest threat is that small and medium-sized businesses don't think that they're a target by hackers.
They don't think they're tasty.
Yeah, they don't think that, why would a hacker want to come after a small business? And from the hacker's perspective, small and medium-sized businesses are a very lucrative target, because in most instances, they don't have the type of security controls in place that your larger organizations would have.
So you, what would you say to recommend to a small or medium-sized business to get over the concept, the culture, if you will, that, oh, well, we're too small? I mean, how would you convince a business of that, that that's the incorrect approach?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. Some organizations, and I think, you know, in our instance, it's geographical. In Western Canada, I think a lot of businesses are still a little slow on the uptake in regards to looking and tackling cybersecurity from the perspective that we're taking. Their shared or their service providers are giving them antivirus and firewalls and whatnot, and that's about as far as they're going in regards to their security. They're not doing an audit of their footprint, the attack surface footprint. You know, so as I said at the beginning, it's configuration hygiene, it's security policies, and it's up-to-date software patching. Those are the three big things that we see over and over and over again. And that's in every single instance where we've done penetration tests, we've been able to identify critical vulnerabilities in these organization's systems.
And I think, to kind of paraphrase Kim Komando from way back when, I think she still does her radio show, but I remember her saying this about 20 years ago, and this was in relation to like losing data because of lack of backup. So she said, well, what ends up happening there is that you get backup religion. Well, it's pretty much, if it happens to you, then it becomes important. And unfortunately, right, for small, medium-sized businesses, it's the same thing. It's like they ignore it until it happens to them. So I'm with you. It's like I don't have a straight answer for it, but what I try to do is that I try to educate SMBs about the threats out there. It's just like, look, this company just got dinged, and they're the same size as you. You're going to get dinged. So,
yeah, and especially a lot of these smaller organizations, they might be in manufacturing, or they might have proprietary patented information in their systems. And if that gets stolen by hackers, that really puts them in a very compromising position, right? So, and when you think about what the cost of a breach is these days, you know, from my perspective, it should be a no-brainer. Spending a little bit of money on prevention to harden your network and minimize the attack surface should be a no-brainer for most organizations, but it doesn't seem to be that way here in Western Canada. Now, in the US, it's a little bit different. We've got some clients out of the US that are very happy with the work that we've done with them. But as I said, here in Western Canada, our Canadian counterparts are slow on the uptake in that regard.
I would tell you that there are many here in the States that are slow on the uptake too. Well, I want to pivot. Of course, one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk to you, and this is sort of a passion of mine, usually as I get closer to the end of the podcast, I ask folks, what's one of the things that they do to decompress? Because within the cybersecurity industry, mental health is a huge, huge problem. And you need to be able to get away from it. And for me, I've alluded to in the past some of the things that I've dealt with in my career. And one of the things that I dealt with was, I guess a good way to define it would be workplace bullying. And bullying to a standpoint of where... wasn't really accepted, was challenged at every step along the way by a peer professional. Mm-hmm. I would use the term stabbed in the back sometimes, and I don't know if it was malicious or if it was unintentional, but that's not the point. It made me very, very depressed, put me in a bad state, and it wasn't until afterwards that I realized that actually that there was bullying going on. I mean, I never went to HR or anything with that, but it was. And so I saw a random LinkedIn post from you. I think it was related to squatting, something like the equivalent of 3 Volkswagens. I don't know. But where you mentioned that you were looking into doing a new podcast and focusing on bullying. And so that's where Bully Proof came from, which, as I understand, is the title of your podcast, first episode dropping on Monday the 13th. Can you kind of go through the history as to why you, what your passion is with regards to this and what led you to the podcast creation?
Sure. I'm an emotional abuse survivor. Grew up in a very emotionally abusive home. I don't want to get into too many details about that, but it came to fruition in 2016. I was going to qualify for Worlds in powerlifting, and my mom and dad wanted to be there to see us, my wife and I, qualify for Worlds. And I had a bad day on the platform. I put too much pressure on myself. And when I bombed out, my parents got up without a word and walked out on me. And we haven't spoken since.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I am too. And the follow-up from that, I had a complete mental breakdown. And then that was the culmination of many, many years of emotional neglect and abuse from my family. And so I went through a period of time after that where I was disabled. I was not able to work. I did go back to work, but was I able to give my employer what they wanted? No, I was not. I was not in that proper mindset to be able to perform. My wife and I then moved to Nova Scotia from Vancouver, where we opened a gym and to try and help me heal and get out of the city and away from the hustle and bustle of things. And that helped for a little while, but these things always catch up to you, you know? Mm-hmm. So we found ourselves missing family, and then the pandemic happened, and that we kind of took that as a sign from God that maybe the gym thing is something to put on the back burner for a while and come back and be closer to my wife's mom and dad, which is what we've done. So when we came back from Nova Scotia, I went to work for an automotive company. They're a smaller company, so they do performance stuff, high performance stuff. And I saw how bad their security was. And I wanted to go and work there. And now, so the Bullyproof podcast is something that came up recently. I connected with a man in the UK named John Rufus. Are you familiar with him?
The name sounds familiar, but at my age, it's like I things kind of come and go.
He's a cybersecurity executive. He's from Australia. Mm-hmm. And him and I got to chatting about this particular issue, bullying in the workplace. And so we were going to collaborate on this podcast together. We were ready to go and record our first episode. And then he was diagnosed with cancer, and he had to take a step back and away.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I told him that I would continue to run with this, and it's my hope that he's going to join back in with me when he's able to. Mm-hmm. That could be a while. I don't know. I haven't spoken with him in about a month now. So I've experienced myself bullying in the workplace in all of my professional jobs, and I found out recently probably the reason why. I mean, I'm weird. I found out recently that I'm likely on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had a hard time fitting in. I've always been a bit of a loner, like to be by myself. And, you know, when you're working in office environments,
me too.
that doesn't mesh all that well sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having grown up with abuse, and now I look back, and hindsight's always a beautiful thing, right? You see that patterns in your own behavior and patterns in people taking advantage of you and abusing you in the same ways over and over and over again, right? And so John and I came up with the idea to do this podcast to try and get this message out to executives that this kind of stuff in the 21st century isn't going to fly anymore. We want to impact and facilitate change across the world to have more inclusive work environments. Mm-hmm. For not only people like me, but for everyone. Nobody deserves to be treated that way, like a bully treats a victim. You know, it caused me an immense amount of pain and suffering. And I think by sharing my story, it might be able to help others and influence a broader change across the board.
Well, I know that it's difficult for people to talk about because I guess in some ways I go back to the way I grew up is that, well, as a guy, you're supposed to just suck things up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to man up, suck it up and just deal with it yourself, which is toxic. But on the flip side, you can't be wearing your heart out on your sleeve the entire time and being this squeaky wheel that gets the oil and crying and whining all the time, because then you're going to have the entire workplace catering to you, which is going to then cause some of the other folks to have some bad feelings about that. There's sort of like a balance between both ends. And really, it's just getting back to, I think, what you were talking about is respecting everyone as individuals. It's very simple. Just respect people as individuals. And yet for some reason, and I always think based on my personal experience, is that it has its roots in insecurity, that the more somebody bullies, the less secure they are in themselves. Am I off base on that? Or do you kind of feel
they feel threatened, especially if they target you? I think that if you feel threatened by something that you have that they don't, you know, and I know in my situation, I've been targeted by narcissists in the past, and they abuse people like me because we're givers and we try and give as much as we can. And those people take until there's nothing left.
Right. And that's sort of, I probably didn't express it. I should have used the term narcissist, but that's what I was trying to get at with regards to someone in the workplace, that the squeaky wheel getting the grease, they're usually the narcissist. And then you're right. The more you feed into them, the more that they're going to want. And it just creates this toxic work environment.
Absolutely. And that causes trauma. And what we talk about in my first podcast with Jennifer Fraser is how that toxic environment impacts the brain, and it actually causes a brain injury.
And the name of her book, if I wrote this correctly, is The Bullied Brain, correct?
The Bullied Brain, yes, that's correct. Okay.
I don't want to get too far into that because I'm looking forward to listening. Is it a video or a video only pod or audio only podcast?
It's a video, and the quality isn't all that great. I've just recently got a better camera and a microphone. So our first episode is going to be pretty budget, but the content is what's more important at this point, you know. And I've got a relationship with Jennifer now. I certainly have her on the show again.
So, how can someone find the podcast if they're looking for it?
Our first episode is going to be put up on Monday. I'm going to have it hosted on YouTube. And I will put links out on my LinkedIn page.
Okay.
When I do post it up on Monday, and I can send you a link for that too, so you can put up for your folks as well.
Well, absolutely. I'll do that if because this is going to drop before then. Very least, just we'll put the link in the show notes. At least you won't have the actual episode there, but you should have the channel already.
No, the episode I'm planning to put up on Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
Monday the 13th.
Well, very good. I'm, you know, TJ, I think that's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And I wish that people would speak out more on these types of topics instead of like trying to suck it up and trying to pretend, you know, in the era of social media, it's become so toxic where people are like trying to give this impression of who they are. I mean, I look at LinkedIn sometimes and I see like I'm among like, you know, gods here. It seems like everything that they're doing and all that. But it's like it's this constant flywheel of trying to make yourself look better when you're really not, and people trying to live up to unrealistic expectations. And so I always like it whenever there is information or initiative to get down to what we're all feeling, because we all do feel this. So I appreciate your initiative there.
Thank you. Thank you.
So obviously, though, there's a lot of stress involved with cyber. Getting back on the cyber bandwagon for a moment.
Sure.
You can't. There can be stress involved if you are bullied in the workplace as well. Hopefully, that's not too often the case, but unfortunately, it is. But there is stress involved, and you need to get away from stress, as I know from your story, you've kind of realized that if you don't properly let out stress, that sometimes you can internalize it with negative effects. So what's one thing, I'm suspecting that maybe powerlifting is one of the things that you do to help decompress from the stresses of cyber. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my own gym in our garage, and I'm out there 4 times a week lifting. And sometimes it's heavy. I'm just getting over injury right now. I tore a hamstring in August, and I'm just about back now to where I was prior to that injury. But I squatted the equivalent of 1,115 pounds in August. It's just when you put your focus and effort into something for a long period of time, like lifting, you'd be amazed at what the average person can achieve. I was never an athlete, a standout athlete at anything in my life. And then I discovered lifting in my early 30s, and it just clicked for me, and I absolutely loved it. And so I think it's part of it's the autism in me. It's a repetitive type of activity. So it's self-stimulation. And I realize that now, that I was self-stimulation as I built my strength up over the last 12 years.
Well, I gotta say, it's like, I've seen a couple of videos of you doing that in your squat rack on LinkedIn, and I'm very impressed. But for me, it's like, you know, I was just, my leg day yesterday, or it was the day before rather, it's like, you know, I build up to doing box squats at like, you know, 105 pounds. Now I gotta say, my goals are a little bit different from yours. Yeah, I'm 56 years old, and my goals are that when I'm 86, that I can get off the toilet by myself. And that is my real honest to goodness goal. And but to think about you squatting 10 times what I was squatting there, it's like, it's just amazing. But you're right. And with a lot of things in life, it's like, we don't realize our potential sometimes unless we actually go forward and try and push ourselves. And eventually you get to put to the point where you push yourself and you realize, okay, I have hit my limit. So you tore your ACL, I think you said?
No, just a hamstring.
Oh, hamstring. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's minor. No, I didn't even have to go to the doctor or anything like that. I just rest and stretching and whatnot. And I'm good to go now.
That's God's way of saying, you know what? I think you've reached my design limits.
I think in that instance, it was 2 weeks after I hit that 1115. Uh-huh. So I didn't have enough time to recover after that big lift. I should have taken a month of recovery, of backing it off and going lighter before I tried to go heavy again. And I tried to go heavy again 2 weeks after I hit that lift. So live and learn, right? I'm getting into uncharted territory for myself now, so yep. I have to be smarter about it as I move forward.
And that's a good analogy also to like career. We go through periods in cybersecurity, some of, you know, depending upon what you do in your organization, but I know a lot of organizations, they have to deal with audits, whether it be SOC 2 or financial examinations or high trust or anything like that, and they can be really stressful. You're going through all the stress of getting stuff together. It's like, take a little bit of a break. Doesn't mean that you have to take 2 or 3 weeks off from the job, but just, you know, settle back and not do like the intense like security stuff for a little bit. Just get yourself back and breathe.
Yeah, so
I think there's a good analogy there.
And I can relate that to penetration testing too. We're constantly studying to stay on top of changes in the industry, right? Because there's new exploits that are coming out every day. There's new zero days that we have to be aware of. And so the studying aspect of it can get overwhelming at times. And sometimes I do have to take my foot off the gas and then focus on other things just in order to give my brain an opportunity to recharge, you know? And then, I mean, you add that in, and then the pressure of wanting to deliver on what you've promised your clients, you know, it can be really challenging. You know, some of our engagements have been a lot more difficult than others, as you can probably imagine. Some organizations' security are really good, and some are just horrible. And so we've kind of hit all over the spectrum on that. You know, every engagement is different.
So what's in your future? What are your future plans?
I just want to continue to grow our brand and see where I can take the company. You know, I think what we offer is a little bit different than what the average cybersecurity firm offers. We take a different perspective. We're from through the eyes of the hacker. We're not so concerned about compliance with different organizations. We're all about trying to find a way in and help our clients harden their attack surface.
Awesome. Well, TJ, appreciate your time. The podcast name again is Bullyproof. It drops on Monday, the first episode. And I see two helicopters flying very low outside my window. We're recording this actually on Veterans Day. Actually, we're going to drop it on Veterans Day too here in the States, the Friday before Veterans Day. And they're just getting ready to set up for a parade. So I apologize if there's any background noise there from the helicopters.
No worries.
But so Bullyproof drops on Monday, the 13th. I will have the link in to your YouTube channel down in the show notes here. And we'll also link I'll also have it on my LinkedIn on Monday once it drops, so just make sure to share that with everybody.
Okay.
And best of luck with that endeavor. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, Greg.
And everybody, stay secure.